Merry Christmas, everyone. Would you do that? Would you turn to your neighbor or somebody that you don't know and wish them Merry Christmas? Could you just turn to someone, wish them Merry Christmas? Yeah, so I came in and I saw some faces I hadn't seen in quite a while. And saw some new faces. How many of you are visiting someone in your home for the holidays? Anyone? Not very many of us. Okay. Well, there you go. Justin, is that you? Yep. Nope. Oh, I'm sorry. You're here visiting. Some people are visiting their family. I know that my family actually, they've just sort of moved in. So they're with us now forever or for good. Okay, then there's Tim. Tim's raising his hand too. I don't know for what reason. But anyway, when you think of Christmas, how many of us, when we think of Christmas, we think of home? Anyone? Yeah, some of us do. We think of like home. We think of home for the holidays. We think of home. We think of a fireplace. What do you think of when you think of home? I think of this new gas fireplace that we put into our home. We just put this new gas fireplace in our home just in time, as it turns out, for this bomb cyclone or whatever this weather has been. This is my wife's favorite thing. It's the first thing that goes on when we come home. It's the first thing that we turn on in the morning when we wake up. We think of this fireplace. I think my kids will always think of our fireplace and home. Maybe when you think about home, you think about family. Some of us maybe think about belonging when we think about home. We think about like home being the place where we don't really have to explain ourselves, like why we put mayo in our ketchup or why we like say do put sriracha on our eggs. Anyone do that? No? Some of you are like, oh, good idea. Others of you are like, that sounds horrible. That's something that I love to do. I love to put sriracha on my eggs. And you know what? At home, I don't have to explain it to anyone, because that's kind of what home is about, right? Home is about mutuality. Home is about belonging. Home is about knowing one another. When we think about home, we think about peace. I mean, how many of you, when you open the door after a long day of work, feel like finally I can rest? Anyone feel that way? So if you would indulge me just for a few moments, I just want to talk about home for a little bit. Could we do that? I kept trying, but this is not going to be, this will be kind of family oriented, but I just want to talk to the adults for a moment. Could I do that? And if you're a kid and you're here, you can listen on in. I want to talk about home. I want to talk about home being like the metaphor that describes what happens when we actually come to know Christ. Many of us, when we think about home, we feel peace, we feel safety. But for some of us, when we think about home, home is a little complicated. Home, maybe because home for us is if we're like college students or young adults, it's the place that we go to that's like frozen in time. So we go home, and our parents treat us exactly the same way that they did when we left. Anyone have that experience before? Or maybe we think about home as the place that is irreparably changed. We think about home as a place that used to be full of laughter and merry and bright. Now we think of home as being mostly empty. Now we think about home as mostly being the place that's that used to be loud and buzzing with activity that's now quiet. Homes are complicated. How many of you know that homes actually make you into the person that you are? Homes actually form us. Homes actually form our preferences. Homes form the way that we think about other people, the way that we think about life. And many of us, as we have grown older, have found that our homes formed us well and also maybe didn't form us in ways that we would have chosen. And so we've stopped believing some of the same things that we used to believe because of what we learned when we were at home at first. How many of you can relate to that? You've shed some of the things that you used to believe, things that you were taught at home. Maybe homes are complicated because we didn't experience maybe the attachment or the resonances that come from being positively affected by a parent. Maybe homes were hard for us because they were places where we experienced harm. But here's the interesting thing that I wanted to just say this morning. Even people who have a complicated relationship with their homes have a longing that could be called homesickness. We have a longing to belong. We have a desire to be with people who know us and whom we know. We have a desire to be in a place, as the poet Christian Wiman tells us, so replete with being it seems timeless. We are meant for home. We're actually meant to live in the kind of home where love, commitment, belonging, and mutuality are the total overwhelming reality of every experience, every moment. And maybe you're here and you're visiting, and whether you believe in God or not, maybe you can relate to Hermann Hesse, who writes, "We have no one to guide us. Our only guide is our home sickness." And the poet Christian Wiman would say in rebuttal to that, "Yet if there is no such thing as a true home for us in this world, how is it that we have such a strong sense for what it is?" For just for a few moments, all that I want to say to you this morning is, I think that homesickness is holy. I believe that we are meant for a home. I believe that we are meant, each one of us, for the home that God intends for us. We're meant for Eden, where this declaration is reality. Look, God's home or dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. How many of you know that this is maybe the one of the most important Christmas passages? Because why are we here? We're here today because Jesus, who made a home with us in a human body, made this that we just read possible. Jesus, who made a home with us in a human body, made homegoing for each one of us assured. This is Christmas. God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, who is eternal, who is fully God, fully man, made himself at home in us, in our bodies, becoming human so that we could be home with God. Theologians have a fancy word for this. Anyone know what it is? Incarnation. Here's how the Apostle Paul puts it. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One of the most important passages in our Bibles, and it's about the incarnation. And I'm sure that you'll notice this passage is not just about a birth, is it? I mean, when you come to church for Christmas Eve, you expect to hear about the birth, and you did, and you saw the donkeys, right? That's what you expect to hear. But what I want to tell you is, I want to tell you that that birth has a telos, it has an and, it has a purpose, and that incarnation is not just about identification, it's not just about empathy, even though the Bible tells us that these things are true. The incarnation has a purpose, it has a redemptive purpose. And that's what I want to talk about. He came to inaugurate the kingdom of God. He came to demonstrate what it looks like to live the life of the kingdom. And he also came to effect the complete and total reconciliation of all things. In other words, he came so that we could go home. He came obedient to death, even death on the humiliating cross, so that by doing so, Paul could tell us elsewhere that he became the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And of course, we know that he didn't remain in the grave, otherwise we wouldn't be here. We know that he was raised. We know that our faith is not futile. We are not still in our sins. He was raised to life. He was demonstrating that sin and death could not conquer him. And thus, by doing so, guaranteed victory over sin and death. Because of this, Jesus, who offered for our sins, becomes the eternal sacrifice, guaranteeing our forgiveness both past, present, and future. The incarnation has a purpose, and this is the purpose. So if you're here today thinking about a birth, could I tell you to look forward into the future? He is our enduring light guiding us to our eternal home. This is where the good news of Christmas is actually found. If it just ended at a birth, then, well, would we be here? No. Some of us are like, well, I'm here, so just give it to me. Tell me. Some of us are here like, man, okay, well, what is this about? Well, I just want to make a few points about what it means that Christ made himself home in a human body. And by the way, has it ever occurred to you that he made himself home in a human body? But even more than that, he was actually carried in a womb. That's the Son of God in a womb. So if Christ, the Son of God, the Word of God, can become flesh, what does that mean for us? Just want to say a few things about that. Well, the first thing that it means is it means that Christ can make his home in you, in your body. In fact, that's even what what Jesus tells us in John 14, my Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. This means, what does this mean? This means that our homesickness, in our homesickness, we still belong because Christ is in us. We can still be at home. And think about the way he came. He came in obscurity. He came among the animals. He came to a broken world. And so if he came this way, that to the mess that was first century Israel, which we don't have time to talk about today, and I'm sure the children are thanking me for that, that means that there is nothing, no mess so great in your lives that Jesus can't make his home in you. How many of you know that the making of home in you and me is all about grace? There's nothing that we can do or will do that will annul the home going. All we need to do is turn to him. And that means that no matter what our circumstances are, no matter however long our lists of regrets are, we can belong. We can be at home until we arrive at our final eternal home. We can be at home because the one who makes home possible, where does he live? He lives in you and me. So he's at home in us. And so no matter where we're at, no matter how lonely, no matter how desperate, no matter how alone we are never alone. We are always in the place of true belonging because he is with us always. And by the way, doesn't this have powerful meaning for us who have been displaced from our home countries? I just think about my parents who left their home country, Korea, to come to this country. Anytime I'm with my parents are always like, where's the food? And what they mean by that is they mean, where's the Korean food? They're always looking for home wherever they go. But I find it interesting that Christ, who left his home so that he could be at home in us. What does that mean when we are away from our homes? Maybe it means that we're closer to our eternal home than ever before. Maybe displacement is radical identification. And by the way, Christ made his home in a Jewish body, in a poor family. He didn't come in the body of a Roman or an emperor. That would have made things a lot easier, right? I'm in charge. But he decided to come lowly. Decided to come to the body of a person whose nation was under oppression. He makes his home in the lowly and vulnerable, the poor, the ethnically marginalized. I mean, if we really do that, would there be any occasion for racism? And by the way, also, bodies. Think about bodies for a moment. Maybe the best news of all is that our future is bodily. So I know we talk about this a lot, but if you're new with us, one of the things that we like to say is we like to say that your future home isn't just spirits floating in air. I mean, that's mostly what we think about when we think about heaven. But the Bible tells us that our future home is actually resurrected bodies where we are recognizable to one another, and we actually can walk and eat and talk and drink. We can actually do that. In other words, our home that awaits us, the home that we have now is physical. The home that awaits us is relentlessly, blessedly physical. everything that you have enjoyed and have enjoyed here on earth, you will get to eat when you go to your home. Doesn't that make sense? Why? If we go home, I mean, how many of you go home or visit maybe, say, your parents, and you're like, there's that one thing that we make every Christmas that I have to eat? Anybody? Anybody? Some of us are that way. Some of us are kind of like, well, not really, but, you know, there are other things. I know a guy who once had he had a famous stuffing. He had to make his stuffing wherever he went because he wanted to take home with him. Guess what? He'll get to eat that stuffing at the end of time. And maybe some of you will be lucky enough to eat it too. And maybe in your resurrected bodies, you won't gain 20 pounds when you eat his stuffing because it's packed with all sorts of good stuff. All right, anyway, our homes will be blessedly, relentlessly physical. And I just want to say a couple other things. To take the home-going metaphor a little further, think about this. Aren't homes meant to be launched from? We're meant to leave our homes and come back, aren't we? It's not good for us to always be at home. We learned that during COVID, didn't we? We were at home all the time. What did that do to us? It made us, it wasn't good for us psychologically. Oh, ever notice how a person who always lives at home and never goes out for fear of what's out there, what are they called? Anybody? They're called the hermit, right? But here's the good news about Christ making his home in our bodies. What we most long for when we want to stay at home, guess what? We have with us wherever we go. My wife says, we're not hermits, but we're hermit crabs. I mean, so if Jesus is our Emmanuel and he makes his home in us, guess what? That means that there are all manner of places that we can go because we're never a heartbeat away from the one who leads us home, which means that even though we walk through the darkest valley, we can fear no evil, for he really is with me. In fact, he's with us. In fact, he's so with us. He's inside of us. He has made his home in us. And even more than that, we can have courage leaving knowing that we won't get lost. Knowing that the inner compass, the light, is always guiding us, as Jesus tells us in the Upper Room Discourse, none has been lost. Life is a journey, right? There are some highs and there are some lows. Most often when we're low, we lose sight of home, don't we? But I think the good news of Christ making his home in our bodies is that if we're always at home with him, could we ever really be lost? And so we who have this homesickness and this longing for home, what do? Well, we practice the sacrament as a way to remember to whom we belong and where we are going. To remember that he is home with us. And what do? We take communion together. So I'd like to invite the band to come up. Because what we're going to do after like a 4-week hiatus, for many of you it's felt like forever, but what we're going to do is we're going to take communion together. And why are we going to take communion together? We're going to take communion on Christmas Eve to remind us that birth was prelude to redemption. And so to do that, we take communion. So we take communion in remembrance of Jesus, his birth, his crucifixion, and his resurrection, his sacrifice and his victory. All who have given their lives to following him are welcome to join us. As you came in, you should have received a small wafer and a cup. Jose is like, yep, I got it. Did everyone get a wafer and a cup? Yeah, Hannah, thank you. Well, we have wafers and cups over here at the entrances, you know, but you should have received one of those. You can simply get up and get a few if you'd like. During this next worship song, you are free to take communion wherever, whenever you feel ready. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me.